it's Ophira Eisenberg here, and thanks so much for listening to Ask Me Another. We'd like to better understand who is listening and how you are using podcasts. So please help us out by completing a very short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcastsurvey. It takes less than 10 minutes and really helps support the show. So that's npr.org/podcastsurvey. And thanks.
Hey, Ophira. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I'm having some problems. The internet's out here, so I'm just going to use the data on my phone.
Okay? Oh, no. All right.
If it's not good, I just want to do this because we'd only have a bit of time.
Well, so why don't I get right to the song? Should I do
the
song?
Yeah, let's play the song. Let's do this.
All right, here we go. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from our respective homes in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Unstable Internet Connections, Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hang on a second, my husband's at the door. Yes, hi, I am attempting to record with data on my phone.
Okay. I have are you getting my text?
No. I only have like 15 minutes to do this.
Let's go. Okay, Lucas.
Okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
Bye. See you later, Lucas. You know, there's in some ways, knowing that I only have 15 minutes to do this, not for nothing, but it's the only time constraint I've had in a couple months, and I really would like to adhere to it.
Yeah. You're clinging to a time constraint. Oh, wow. There's a deadline for something needs to be done in an amount of time?
I mean, there is something to the fact that people are like, oh, by the way, I apologize. I want to talk to you and, you know, catch up with you over Zoom, but I'm just going to let you know that I only have the, you know, personal free membership or whatever, which means that it's a 40-minute max. And I'm like, everything should be a 40.
Yeah, no, that's, I only have 40 minutes at a time for anything, no matter what it is. Absolutely. The blessed 40-minute limit.
Ugh. Let's really catch up in 40 minutes.
What should happen is there should be a setting where you set your internet to just reboot every 40 minutes. So
yeah,
no matter what
life.
You're doing, you have an out.
Yeah, because this is like why I love, you know, when you perform stand-up, you have a light. Not that I love that, but also it's good for the audience because the audience knows that there is something going on where after 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever, this is going to end.
Right. Right. There's a grown-up in control, in charge.
That's right.
Because otherwise, you fear, even as you're plowing your way through your third bowl of Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Inside, you fear that you would just go all the way through the box if nobody stopped you. So it's nice to have a grown-up in charge.
Deadline, yes. And I have noticed recently there are a lot of culture pieces being written about the culture we are in, and I do not like a lot of them.
Right. You don't need to read a think piece about the thing you're thinking about all the time.
Right. And some of them, I mean, I was really mad about this article, which from, I believe it was BBC, that was like, why Zoom calls and catch-ups are more exhausting. It's like, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I know. I know.
What else is bad? I needed 2,000 words on that. You know, it's just like, this is the only thing I have. What else is bad? At-home workout injuries that you'll never recover from, you know?
Right, right. How we are failing our children. Okay, that one I got covered. I know. I already know.
Will your marriage survive anything? No. Here's 2,000 words.
Clearly not. All right, so should we play some games?
Yeah, I think we should. We've got a wonderful show. From HBO's Insecure, we're going to check in with actor Natasha Rothwell, and fresh off the premiere of their Netflix improv comedy special, Middleditch and Schwartz, we're going to play some games with comedians Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz. But first, we're going to kick things off with Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Lauren Ash from NBC's Superstore. So let's go. Hello, Lauren. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How's your week going? It's been a long everything.
That's pretty much how it's going. That's how it's going.
Yeah, I've it's going well. I think I've managed to somehow overextend myself, which feels impossible.
That doesn't
during a panic.
That seems amazing, normal for you, actually.
You know, this is the first week we were talking that some of us are putting on our calendar our TV watching.
Mm. Yes.
Like we're like tonight at 8. Mm-hmm. You know, on the Google Cal or whatever you use a calendar. I'm putting everything in my calendar. And I do feel like I did commit to a few things because occasionally I wake up with this idea that I'm like, I'm going to do that and I'm going to try this show or whatever. And then, at the end of the day, you're like, what am I doing? Like, I can barely do anything.
Oh, I've gotten those black bananas out of the freezer like 6 or 7 times. They've thawed and I've put them back. It's like the banana bread will come, but who knows when.
That banana bread is going to taste so amazing when you finally get to it.
It does. The thawing and refreezing, I think, is really going to add to it.
Let them go black and then thaw them and refreeze them several times.
Yeah.
Stephanie, are you cooking? Are you doing any of the intense recipe?
It's a balance of like how responsible do we want to be to all the people that are making these deliveries all the time. So, you know, we don't want to be self-centered and order food every chance we get, even though at first it seemed like, oh, this is going to last for 2 weeks. Let's order pizza every night, you know. So we've gotten some farm boxes and we've tried to do stuff with them. And some have been hits, some have been misses.
Yeah. Like too many turnips, that kind of thing?
Well, we got a box that was like full of, we had to look it up on the internet and like try to figure out what it was. Yes. It turned out to be like watermelon radish sprouts or something. So I spent an entire episode and a half of RuPaul's Drag Race taking the little sprouts off the thing. And then Brad made a salad and it was like, just okay. And I was like, well, that's not happening again.
See,
Brad will ask me what's for dinner. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to be responsible for it. So yeah.
Yep. I know it's too much. Everybody I know is reading recipes. I am reading instructions on the back of a box. Okay. So let's go to your first game. It's an audio quiz called Masked Singers, because these days everybody is wearing a mask, but some musicians were way ahead of the curve. I'm going to play you a clip of a musician who famously obscures their face, and you're going to tell me who we are hearing. And if you have no idea, you can make something up. And we're going to go back and forth.
Got it.
Lauren, this is for you.
Ready.
She's an Australian artist who often uses a large blonde wig to shield her face, and sometimes she tops it with a bow.
It's Sia!
Yeah!
All right, Stephanie, this is for you.
Okay.
Because this singer's voice sounded so much like Elvis's, many conspiracy theories emerged that Elvis was still alive and releasing music under this alias in the 1980s.
Well, I'm not trying to be just like Elvis. I'm doing my best to make it all.
I will say it seemed as though he was leaning into the Elvis thing a little bit.
I'll
take the multiple choice because I truly don't have a clue, so I'm going to do my best guess.
Okay, I'll give you the multiple choice. Was it A, Orion, B, Bill Haley and his comets, or C, Jefferson Starship?
I think Bill Haley and his comets. Who is that? That sounds cool.
It does sound cool. It's incorrect, though. It was Orion.
Ah, Orion.
Yeah, his
like
name was
Orion's
Orion.
Like Orion's belt?
The very same. He wore a masquerade-style mask. And during his time with the Sun record label, which was also Elvis's label, he made over 11 albums. He toured with Jerry Lee Lewis and Dionne Warwick. There's a documentary about his life in 2015 called Orion, the Man Who Would Be King. So he really did lean into the Elvis thing, as it turns out.
Wow.
Lauren, the members of this French electronic duo appear on stage wearing helmets.
I know,
Stephanie. There's more. And rarely give interviews.
One more time, we're gonna celebrate. Oh, yeah, all right, don't stop the dancing. One more time.
I know this is terrible, but I'm gonna need the multiple choice.
Okay. Is it A, the Chemical Brothers, B, Daft Punk, or C, LCD Sound System?
It's Daft Punk, B.
That's right.
Yes. I needed to hear it. I was because in my mind I was like, "Is that a, no? It's not LCD sound system." I knew that, but that's all that was coming into my head. I'm so sorry.
My husband's literally wearing his Daft Punk shirt today, and then Lauren gets that question. Great.
Yeah,
and that is a slap in the face. It is straight up, straight up slap in the face.
All right. Well, there's, maybe there's some redemption time will come here, Stephanie.
Okay, let's see.
This electronic trio of musicians hails from Boise, Idaho, and first appeared on the scene in 2013.
I need the multiple choice.
Sure. Was it A, Merlin's Beard, B, Broken Wands, or C, Magic Sword?
Man, I don't know.
It doesn't
I
help very much,
one.
I know.
Oh, that's hard. God.
You got hard ones.
Broken Wands sounds cool. I hope that's their name.
That is a cooler name than their actual name, which is
Magic Sword.
Yep. Magic Sword.
I mean, they sound great.
Two of the band members perform wearing hooded cloaks and fencing masks with glowing laser lines for eyes, while the third member of the band supplies moody projections. One of the band's members, known as The Keeper, said that he came up with the idea while staying at a meditation retreat. That's where all good ideas come from. He said, day seven, it dawned on me that this is what I wanted to do. It was the one constant in my life, 80s epic soundtrack music.
Wow.
I love that's a very sweet story, I think.
It is very sweet. And also like
darling.
Pure. Like, well, very this pure. Is it. This is what I'm meant to do.
I know nobody wants to hear this but me, but this is what I want to do.
They probably will sweep the category at the Grammys because they're going to have to make that category at the Grammys
that's right.
in order to
that's
facilitate
right.
this music.
Yeah.
The good nominees point. Are Merlin's Beard. Broken Wands and Magic Sword.
They're like, oh, Merlin's Beard again! They're so derivative!
Guys.
They're so derivative!
They're so derivative!
They stole our sound. They stole our
They're
sound.
We were doing this 4 years ago!
Yeah, that's right. Merlin's Beard is the Orion to Magic Sword's Elvis.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Oh, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
Beautiful.
Mwah. Gorgeous.
Actually saying chef's kiss is now my new favorite thing since I heard you do it.
Chef's kiss is amazing.
That's really great. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So good. After the break, we're going to play another game with actors Stephanie Beatrice and Lauren Ash. And later, I'll switch to my soft focus Zoom filter for a chat with actor Natasha Rothwell from HBO's Insecure. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the 5-star rated puzzle game with thousands of levels, tons of characters to collect, and fun stories to follow. The game updates monthly, so there is always a new challenge to master. Help these cute and courageous characters while you play through engaging puzzle levels anywhere and anytime. No internet required. Download on the Apple App Store or Google Play for free. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends. This message comes from NPR sponsor StoryPoint Wines, maker of StoryPoint, a bold new wine brand with a rich layered taste profile. Enjoy StoryPoint Wine when you connect with those you love, either at home or at a virtual happy hour. Raise a glass and share a story. StoryPoint believes that the stories we share can bring joy even in trying times. Visit StoryPointVineyards.com/another to purchase. Shipping is included in your online order, so consider shipping a bottle to a friend too.
The biggest story in the world is a science story. And keeping up with all the latest coronavirus research, it's a lot. So on Shortwave, we translate the science you need to know into short daily episodes. Listen and subscribe to Shortwave from NPR.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Parent-Teacher Teleconferences. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing some games with two totally delightful people, Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and the upcoming film adaptation of Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical In the Heights, and Lauren Ash from Superstore and She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. All right, Stephanie, Lauren, are you ready for another game?
Yes.
Born ready.
Great. So this is a multiple choice quiz about how cities got their nicknames.
Okay. Ooh.
So we'll go back and forth. All right, Stephanie. Why is New York City nicknamed the Big Apple? Is it because a newspaper sports columnist used the term to refer to the city's preeminent horse racing venues? B, because all of the apple teenies the gals drank on Sex and the City? Or C, because it's got a rotten center?
That's A.
Yes, it is A. That's right.
I was like, yeah. I was so sure. And then I was like, wait, is this a setup? Am I?
Yeah, supposedly horse rating reporter John Fitzgerald overheard two stable hands refer to New York as the Big Apple. And he loved it. So he used it for an article for the New York Morning Telegraph.
What were the names of those stable hands?
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that interesting?
You know?
That their names are missing.
Lost to history.
Call Lin-Manuel Miranda. We've got his next story. This is the story. This is it.
Let me text him right now.
Text him right now. The stable hands that came up with
it. You know what? That's a good idea. Just a retelling of the musical New York, New York.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Focused on these two stable hands. That's a
good
idea.
Absolutely.
All right, Lauren, this one's for you.
I'm ready.
Miami is known as Magic City because A, more magicians live there per capita than any other U.S. city. B, an ad campaign from a Florida developer was trying to lure northerners to the city despite its reputation for swamps and mosquitoes. Or C, because it's said that if you put money into Miami real estate, it disappears like magic.
Ooh, B?
Yes, according to the Miami Herald, a Florida developer hired a writer to write a positive article about Miami to lure people to the city, and they think probably the writer stole the nickname Magic City from Birmingham, Alabama.
Now, Birmingham, Alabama was the original Magic City?
That's right, because of all the magicians who lived there. No, that's not
right.
True. I just made that up.
Stephanie, Paris is known as the City of Lights. Why? Is it A, because of the Eiffel Tower, which is illuminated every evening? B, because it was one of the first European cities to adopt street lighting to deter crime? Or C, because berets are highly flammable and everybody smokes?
I think it's B.
You're right. That's right. In 1667, lanterns were replaced on main roads in Paris, and residents were asked to hang candles and oil lanterns on their windowsills at night to deter crime.
Can you imagine how beautiful that must have been? It must have been so incredible. Oh my gosh. I wish I could time travel for things like that.
All right, Lauren, this is the last question. It's for you.
All right.
Why is Milwaukee's nickname Cream City? Ooh. A, for Wisconsin's dairy industry. B, for the cream-colored bricks many of the city's buildings are made out of. Or C, for the creamy head of its many locally brewed beers.
Ooh. I am going to say, A.
Dairy industry?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It is actually the color of the bricks.
What?
That many of the city's buildings are made out of.
Wow.
Where they were, all these bricks were made in the 1800s from clay that was found in southeastern Wisconsin. So there's this very common color of bricks in the city's buildings.
Well, that sounds beautiful.
Well, let's take a trip to Milwaukee when this is
Shall
all
we?
Over.
Shall we? Let's do it.
We'll recreate the Laverne and Shirley opening. Wasn't that Milwaukee?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's right. Guys, when this pandemic is over, no matter what happens, let's promise right now that all four of us are going to go on a road trip and visit all of the cities that we've talked about in this game. If we really want to honor what happened today, we'll commit to it right now.
I do want to honor it. Second pitch is that we all just get matching t-shirts that say Cream City on them and don't explain them.
Okay.
This we could have this happen very quickly. I like that.
I could do it right now while we're on the phone together.
What's the weirdest thing everybody's bought online since this all started?
Oh gosh, so much.
So many
full tracksuits. I'm a Blue Jays fan. I'm from Toronto originally, outside Toronto, and so I bought a pair of shorts that are Toronto Blue Jays shorts. Why?
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Why? But you know,
what have you bought, Stephanie?
I think the weirdest thing was like a pair of Isotoner slippers. Like, they're not
are they comfy?
But they're great.
I Jonathan also wear Lynch. A hard-soled slipper. I don't know about anyone else.
I'm wearing a hard-soled slipper right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
showing
come
you the,
to that.
I'm showing you the slipper that was just on my foot just a second ago.
See? This is the
oh,
one
yeah.
I got. See?
Well, if
we
we're
all have
all...
our slippers right here.
Well, I'm, not here. In, a, I'm not in a slipper. Oh, I'm in oh. an orthopedic. This is an orthopedic sandal that I got at a Walgreens a few years wow. ago, and it's the greatest thing.
Fantastic. Stephanie and Lauren, what a pleasure it is to hang out and play games with
that
you.
Was so
and
fun.
You know, so happy to know that we are all wearing slippers. Just another reason why we came together today.
Of course.
Because no one ever sees us from the waist down anymore. I mean, I don't know. There could be people in your house that see you. I'm living with my husband, of course. Well, not of course, but sounds
of
so
course.
Different. But we only talk through Zoom.
Of course.
Of course. Different rooms. So, yes. yeah. He hasn't seen me from the waist down in years. Okay. None of this is usable. None of that's usable. None of that's usable.
Sometimes you have to cross the line to remember where it is. You know what I mean?
I know. Well, sometimes it's so funny because sometimes as you try to make things less crude with language, it makes it a thousand times worse.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, thanks again for playing some games with us, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. Okay.
This was fantastic.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for having
Bye.
Us.
Our next two contestants are on the line. You know Thomas Middleditch from HBO's Silicon Valley and Ben Schwartz from NBC's Parks and Recreation, and they star together in a series of improv comedy specials on Netflix called Middleditch and Schwartz. Thomas, Ben, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi.
We
sing the friends and toys.
Perfect.
You know, I'm really impressed that you guys have a improv comedy special, because I will say that the idea of pitching an improv show is really hard. I've even heard, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway? They tape 3 hours or something, like just a huge
oh, wow.
amount to bottle it down.
The pitch itself was difficult. Just the idea of going to studios and try to pitch. And we talk about the reason why, you know, improv could just have like a stamp in the whole world of streaming, because for stand-up, you have to work on material for like 6 months, 8 months, and then you get one shot
right.
at doing a special, and you probably shoot two shows and take the best of those shows and make your thing. For us, every single show is its own special, because there'll never be a show like that again. But when you go
right.
and you explain that part, the business model is very exciting. But the part of like, oh, but what's the show about? We're like, oh, we have no idea. They're like, yeah, but you got to tell us what's going to happen. Like, we honestly
yeah, exactly.
have no idea. And that was a very big hurdle. It took us a very long time to try to sell it. Right, Thomas?
Yeah, it was hard not to make some kind of concession where they would be like, okay, but well, you know, we'll shoot an hour and a half and we'll whittle it down to like 20 minutes or like a best of
yeah.
or like put some kind of strange framing device on it or be like, yeah, it's you guys and here's three other special guests each week. And it's like, no. We've been doing the show for like 12 years. It's this show.
It's yeah. like, you know, the medium that we've been doing for 20 years each. Thomas has been doing it for over 20 years because he started when he was a little baby. So it's like
a baby boy.
He was a baby. He was yes-anding. He was zip-zap-zopping right after he was born.
Yeah.
But
I did crazy eights in order to get out of the womb.
Look at these specific improv references.
Deep but cuts. Come on.
It was a big one. It was a big one. And Netflix giving us the opportunity is like, it could not have been better because they are worldwide. It's insane that we're getting tweets today from people in different countries that we've never even been to in our lives being like, we're watching and reading the captions and it was amazing. And I was like, oh, this is incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to, speaking of improv, do you want to play some games
no.
with us?
Could you imagine? The whole idea of improv is to yes and. The first thing you ask us, we both say,
I'm out.
No, out. See ya. Peace.
Hey.
Let's do it. Grab your tote bag. Let's go for a
That's
ride.
Right. So we're going to start off with the music parody game called Nothing to Hide.
Oh, this
oh,
is
I'm
me.
I'm going to love this.
This is you. Yeah, you get live music.
Jonathan plays
oh,
songs?
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, heaven.
I know, right? We rewrote songs about secrets to make them about things people hide. So just tell me the thing I'm singing about and or the original song's title or the artist who made it famous. Three ways to win.
Oh my.
Or.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, it's just Thomas and I now.
There's a book where I write down my secrets, like my crush.
Diary.
He's so hot. You gotta wait till I'm done.
Oh, sorry, you're nailing it. You're nailing it. Keep going. Jonathan, you're nailing it. Go, go. You're crushing.
His name's Scott.
Diary.
Got it?
Yes,
diary.
I stole it.
Now you can say it. Diary
oh,
is
sorry,
correct.
Oh, sorry, diary.
I there stole it.
Thomas right. cheated, but he'll take it.
Yeah, he'll take
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that cheating slap.
Do you know the song or the artist?
That was I Want to Be an American Idiot by Green Day.
Oh, that's a good, it's a good guess. Right neighborhood.
Oh, no, I was kidding. I don't know
oh,
what
okay.
that is.
Really? That was In My Room by the Beach Boys.
Oh.
A little band called the Beach Boys.
Yeah, okay. I think I heard of those guys.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I apologize for interrupting your art, and I won't do it again.
Oh, not at all. I wouldn't call it an art, by the way.
I want to be an American. Imagine if that's the next song.
All right, here we go. Thomas, this one's for you.
Great.
Uh-oh. What do I do with this blemish? Why is it right there on my chin? Oh no, it's bleeding. This concealer's looking weird. Now it's worse than it appeared. I should grow a beard.
It's talking about like zits and pimples.
Yeah, pimple, that's right.
And is that the zombies?
It is not the zombies.
Is that the Beatles?
The Beatles.
It's the Beatles. It's the Beatles. That's right. Do you want to know a secret?
Do you want to know a secret?
The Beatles.
Tired of those guys?
I'm tired of the Beatles.
Yeah, enough already. We get it.
I know it's a controversial statement, but yeah, we
the
get
zombies,
it.
Though. More yeah. zombies.
More zombies, man. That's the real ticket.
More zombies, less Beatles.
What world do we live in?
That's,
is this real
that's,
life?
That's a very tiny...
No.
No. No.
All right, Ben, this one is for you.
Jonathan, I'm loving this.
Oh, I'm glad. Here we go. Well, I might want some booze when I'm somewhere they don't sell it. So I keep this in my pocket, take a sip when no one sees. At the diner, at the gym, on the street or in my office. Do you think I have a problem 'cause I drink from one of these?
Are you ready to see? This is what I call a royal flush. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Billy Joel, the stranger, hiding alcohol in a flask.
Yeah, you got all three of them. Well done.
Whoa.
And you may want to hit that chorus because you're right there just to get it out, Jonathan.
I know, I do. I desperately do.
All right. These are teases. Just
at
do
least
it.
The lick.
I can't believe. It's making me so furious that you stop right when like the biggest part of the song is.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
By the way, The Stranger, one of the best front-to-back albums of all time, right next to Still Bill, which is one of the best front-to-back albums of all time.
Right on. I am also a Billy Joel fan. I have encountered many Billy Joel haters, and I'm not having it anymore.
Oh,
the man's
I
a
love
national,
Billy Joel.
He's a national treasure.
And that particular album, if you see how many hits are on that one album, you will be blown away.
It's unstoppable.
Anyway, this was our podcast called Billy Joel's Unstoppable.
That's
see us
right.
next week. And we talk about Elton John, and we're okay about it.
Just medium.
All right, Thomas, here's one for you. It's my cat's name and my year of birth, with ones for eyes. It's capitalized punctuation, a symbol or two. It's uncrackable, my account's unhackable. If you guess it, that's okay. I used to factor anyway.
Okay, it's about having a really good password for your...
It's about a password, that's right, yeah. Do you know the song or the artist?
I know that part.
It is Our Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's.
There you go. I know that. Okay. I've heard that song, but okay.
It's okay. All right.
Okay, that's, Ben, here's what
I'm trash. What,
no, you're doing great.
You're doing great.
No, I'm
Thomas.
Trash, and you got to throw me in the dumpster and don't even recycle me. Put me in the dump.
We're not going to do it.
Throw me in the dump.
All right, Ben, here's one for you.
When I'm at work and I want a treat,
Keep your baby carrots, I want something sweet. My weight loss plan, I will just ignore. Reach it to the bag in my right desk drawer.
Talking in my sleep. You know that?
Yeah. Oh, I know this
one.
Yeah,
talking in your sleep. Bye.
Talking in my sleep by Notorious B.I.G. and it's about eating snacks when you should be on a diet, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly. We're looking for candy, but I will absolutely take snacks.
Hey, what is who sang talking in? Who sang
that? Was the Romantics.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, side question. Is anyone here having like crazy vivid dreams recently?
Yes. I've been having terrible dreams and also weird, waking up and remembering everything and then it going away.
Yeah, I'm just having weird ones where I'm beside someone and then I go, aren't we supposed to be far apart? That's really, just anxiety dreams.
About being too close to a person?
Yes, I'm in a dream just doing whatever, but I'm around a lot of people and I'm going like, why are we doing this? We're not supposed to be doing this.
I've had that same thing. It's a dream that's like a totally normal dream and then my brain in the dream realizes we're too close.
Oh, bummer. I'm just having like greatest hits dreams, you know. I'm doing classic flying dreams. I'm doing dreams where I'm super strong. I'm getting a million super gratifying like intimacy dreams. It's just like, it's pretty crazy. It's just, yeah, it sucks you guys are having such a tough time, but I'm literally like, it's a highlight
nailing
reel.
It. You're nailing the quarantine. You're nailing isolation.
More like quarantine dream. All right, next question.
All right, Thomas, this is the last question. It's for you.
They've got a map to follow. Pirates go on a trek to an X.
They're pirates on a treasure hunt.
Yes, treasure.
And I don't know. It's not the Foo Fighters. I have no idea.
It is not the Foo Fighters. It is Queens of the Stone Age. That's No One Knows.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Feels like a great Guitar Hero song.
Yeah, you're clicking the buttons on that one. You could probably play that on Medium. And then there's the hard parts, then you got to go.
Yeah,
go
give it to your younger brother.
We did keep score. Do you guys want to know, or do you want to just know that you did great?
I feel like we did great.
No, let's know. I want to know. Ben...
I like that you're just out of screen. You're just out of Thomas.
We
is
did
lying
great.
Down.
We don't have to look. We love it.
Ben, come have your day in the sun.
Coming up, we'll see how Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz fare when we turn from competition to cooperation with a game of Fact Bag. And Natasha Rothwell joins us from HBO's Insecure. And we'll check in with you about the weird things you've been eating while in quarantine. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/ask to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Hey, it's Guy Raz from NPR's How I Built This, and each week on the show during this unprecedented crisis, I'll be asking some of the top founders and builders how they're dealing with the economic impact of the coronavirus and hear about some of the ways they're pivoting to fight it. Subscribe or listen now to How I Built This.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with the stars of the new Netflix improvised comedy special, Middleditch and Schwartz, Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz. Okay, are you ready for a game where all four of us get to work together?
Wait, all four of us get to play? That's amazing. All of us get to play.
It's an all play.
Oh, I love a game. It's an all play. This is an all play. And this is an AP.
Hashtag all play.
It's an AP.
Hashtag all play. This is a hashtag AP. Okay.
This game is usually called Fact Bag, but nobody's allowed to touch the bag anymore. So it's called Fact Google Doc. I have some random trivia questions. None of us know the answers, but we're all going to talk it out and try to figure them out together.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the first one. In 1967, the first ever Super Bowl halftime show prominently featured a demonstration of what futuristic device?
In 1967.
Not a robot, probably.
Couldn't it be a computer? I'm a computer.
A computer? Well, yeah, right? Like, or like a laser, or how about a Casio? Was it the first?
Casio. Oh, yeah. A big halftime show and this tiny little keyboard gets
Casio, a Casio VL tone.
They put on like one of those like demo beats, like Salsa 1. And
That's amazing. Marvin Gaye comes out there and sings a beautiful song off of beep.
I mean, what goes into a halftime show? Music. So I'm thinking like something.
Smoke machine, music, wireless microphones. Oh, yeah. No, probably not.
I still like lasers.
Lasers.
Let's okay, just say lasers, lasers and move fine. On.
Okay, lasers. Let's see. Can I get
what a stupid
lasers.
Answer?
What? A jetpack.
A jetpack.
Oh.
Yeah, they were technically called rocket belts. Two representatives from Bell Aerosystems held a live jetpack demo for the first Super Bowl's 50 million home viewers. It could only carry enough fuel to lift someone for less than half a minute. So you really couldn't go anywhere. There's very little surviving video of the first Super Bowl halftime show. They had jetpacks, but not great recording equipment, it turns out.
Oh, man, the footage.
Yeah, but the jetpacks made a reappearance at the 1984 Summer Olympics and at the Super Bowl at Super Bowl 19 in 85.
Oh.
Okay, how about this? Computer scientists created their own unit of measurement to measure the speed and detection of a computer mouse. What is that measurement called?
Oh, I know this one. It's 15 crambles. C-R-A-M-B-L-E-S. No, I'm kidding.
I know, droppings.
Well, if it's mice, it's breadcrumbs.
Droppings. Yeah.
Mice, droppings.
Jerry's. Or no, which one's the cat? Tom and Jerry?
Tom
Who's the
is
cat?
The cat. Jerry's
and
the mouse.
Jerry's. Oh, yeah, Jerry's. I like that
Mickey's
one.
The Mickey's. Oh, I just had an idea. I think it's a good one. Whiskers.
Oh, that's good. Right? That's good. Yeah.
Because a mouse has whiskers.
Okay, I'm going to... droppings is what I think they wanted to call it, but I'm going to go with crumbles. Official,
thank you
official
so much.
Answer
I'm sticking with
is
whiskers.
Crumb.
Hey, okay, thank whiskers. You everybody for believing in me and my crumbles, the first, a word that I absolutely made
by
up.
By the way, the first one should have been lasers too, but...
that's right.
Flicks. 20 flicks.
All right, producer Travis Larchuk, what is the answer? Oh, you know what? I think you said it, Ben. A Mickey.
A Mickey?
Mickey?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that true?
Someone did say Mickey.
I said Mickey, but I didn't think it was a good idea, so I didn't say it again.
A Mickey Mouse goes back to 1980s Microsoft Mouse driver manuals. Remember when you got a manual?
Yes.
How to use a mouse.
And a Mickey is 1/200th of an inch.
So that's about five whiskers.
Five whiskers.
One Mickey's about five whiskers.
Five whiskers.
Yeah,
okay, that makes sense. That adds up.
All right, you guys did great. That was Fact Google Doc.
We did
learned
terrible.
A
yeah,
lot.
We didn't do very well at all.
Terrible.
We had some good ideas.
Well,
but
in quarantine, all you have is good ideas. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. You can catch Thomas and Ben in their new Netflix special, Middle Ditch and Schwartz. It's time to welcome our special guest. She writes and acts in the HBO series Insecure, a show that follows four friends navigating the tricky professional and personal terrain of Los Angeles. Please welcome Natasha Rothwell. Hello.
Hello. Hi, thanks
Natasha.
For having me. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I think it's just, you know, every day is figuring out how to be, but I need that. You know, I feel all right today.
So I don't know how many people you are sharing your quarantine experience with in your house.
It is with me and my dog, Lloyd Dobler. So he and I are just talk about saying anything. He won't speak back to me, but it's just him and I holding down the fort.
First of all, your dog is adorable. Your dog walked into her.
We allow dogs on the show. It's
fine. Dogs. The dog is totally welcome to play all the games.
I didn't know if he was in frame, and I was like, God, I was ignoring him hard. So
he noticed.
He noticed.
And weren't you a photographer for JCPenney at some point?
I felt very like I took it very, very seriously. We had different backdrops. Soft focus was my big like push. I really loved the way it like
pushed the soft focus.
I pushed the soft focus. Had an amazing time. I was really good at like getting kids to not cry. So I was just like, let me put on this football helmet and act like a monkey and you're going to love this. But you're going to love it more in soft focus, I guarantee.
Maybe a little double exposure action.
Oh, yeah.
I always loved the double exposure.
Oh my gosh, this Greek column, put your elbows on it.
Yeah,
put your elbows you know, on this Greek
just like
column.
At home, so just like you're hanging out at home by your Greek column.
Yeah, by this Greek column, just natural.
Yeah, exactly. So right now you write, produce, and act in the HBO series Insecure. So you were initially hired as a writer.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I moved to LA to write for the show.
And then you were offered the part of Kelly by Issa Rae, and Issa plays the main character on the show. And Kelly is the wild one in the friend group.
Yeah, yeah. It was about 3 episodes into writing the season 1. We had developed, you know, Issa's world and felt like, you know, she needed, you know, a friendship group that was sort of diverse. And Kelly appeared on the page. And a part of our process as writers, we do internal table reads. So we'll write a script and we'll read it as writers in the room just to hear it out loud. And Issa kept having me read Kelly. And they all knew I was an actor and did both things. But I had no ambitions to be on the show because it was my first sort of scripted television show that wasn't sketch. And Princess and Issa one day called me into their office and I was just like, I am in trouble. I've done something terrible. Just, I'm such a good goody. And yeah. I was just like, definitely principal office syndrome. And so that's when they asked me to play Kelly.
Okay. So I think I'm right in saying you moved to New York in 2010 to pursue comedy. And right before that, you did a year in Japan teaching and performing at the Tokyo Comedy Store.
I did. It was really cool to do because it, for me, sharpened my ability to tell a joke that wasn't very niche because I'd come there from DC. Mm. And so the comedy I was doing was just like, you know, about summer associates and like, and like, you know, what's going on the hill and, you know, the things that would like really be hilarious in DC didn't work in Tokyo. And so it made me think about, you know, what are some of the universal truths that we could subvert and make funny that are hilarious to anyone because it's recognizable. And so it really allowed me to open up my comedy with a worldview that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And before you worked on Insecure, you wrote for Saturday Night Live in 2014. So what was that experience like for you?
It was wild. I mean, I auditioned to be on the show and didn't get it and, you know, grieved that, thought it was done, moving on. Sure. And I got a call and my manager's just like, you know, your audition was one of the best ones that they'd seen and they would like to interview you to write for the show. And it was the only thing I can, you know, relate to. It's just like, you know, being broken up with from your crush and then getting a call being like, he wants to go on a date. It's like, this could end miserably, but I'm going to do it. So sure. I'm so glad that I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Natasha, we have a great game for you. Would you like an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes, please.
Okay, so you told us you love HD TV.
I am guilty as charged, yes.
That's the network with House Hunters, Love It or List It, bunch of other home renovation shows that,
oh, yeah,
are on, that I see on TV at my doctor's office.
Yes.
So your game is called Renovation or Fabrication.
Okay.
It's very easy. We're going to give you a description of a show that may or may not have aired on HGTV or its spinoff network, DIY. You're just going to tell us if it's a real show or if it's something that we made up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So here's your first one. Unspouse my house. Interior designers show newly single clients how a home remodel can be the best therapy for heartache. Homes aren't the only thing getting a makeover. Hearts get renovated as well.
This is a real show.
Sure is. Sure is.
And I'm mortified.
You've seen it.
I've seen it.
How is it?
It is actually really good because it's surprising how emotional people are to their stuff. It's like really kind of therapy to watch these people give up things they were holding on to literally. So guilty as charged.
All right, here's another one, Natasha. For better or curse, married couples spend a weekend renovating haunted houses. If they can make it through the weekend, the house is theirs. Real or fake?
I want it to be real, but I think it's fake.
You are right. It's totally fake.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
It's not a bad idea for a show.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Okay, how about this? A very Brady renovation. Cast members who played the six Brady Bunch kids transformed the house used in exterior shots of the classic sitcom. The goal is to make the inside look like it did on the show.
Okay, here's why I watched it. I just have to get into it. So I grew up watching the Brady Bunch, and I love mid-century modern architecture. And then here I am, like episode three, crying over the remake of, you know, Greg's bedroom. I'm just like...
And who lived, does somebody live in the house? Do you see the owner of the house on the show?
They talk about, I mean, in the first episode, they talk about who owned it and was putting it up for sale. And mm-hmm. the development team at HGTV found out it was on sale and bought it. And so it's they just sort of like decided, oh, that's a show. And I'm wondering, right. I'm like, can they buy the Good Times house? Like, can they buy?
Right.
Like, I know. It seems like they could do a whole bunch.
Keep this model going.
Keep it going.
All right. Here's another one. You live in what? A ferry, a train depot, an ice cream factory. With imagination, tenacity, and a few bucks, people have turned the most unlikely places into personal palaces. Real or fake?
That sounds so fake. But it sounds familiar.
They all start to sound a little familiar after a while.
I know, they all sound familiar. I'm going to say fake.
I'm sorry, that's actually a real show.
Mm-hmm. What?
It ran for 5 seasons. Other unexpected living places included an ink factory, a clock tower, and a distillery.
Wow.
Ink factory is the worst,
what?
I think.
Ink factory, yeah.
Can't get that out.
No.
Just scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing.
A lot of that.
Yeah.
All right, how about the Vanilla Ice Project? Pop icon and knockout home renovator has started flipping homes. Will his champagne taste end up costing him a profit, or can he and his crew flip this tacky mess and still come up on top?
Is that real? If that's real, I'm going to watch it today. Is that real?
It's your lucky day.
What?
Apparently, Vanilla Ice was already in the real estate game for about 2 decades before the show premiered.
Wow. That's nice, nice baby. I'm into it.
Island Hunters. It's like House Hunters, except instead of touring 3 homes and choosing one to buy, the extremely wealthy couple tours 3 private islands and chooses which one to buy.
Here's why I watched it.
Man, you have watched them all. It's amazing.
It is one of those things where I have it on while I'm cooking. And sure enough, they go island hopping and are just like, yeah, this is great. This will do.
What are some of the complaints they make about the islands that they don't choose? I'm curious.
Well, there's some where it's like the couple is like rich slash developers. So they're just like, you know, this is just, you know, hard to get to. I'm like, it's an island. What do you like?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's built into the thing. And then,
but can we entertain?
Can we entertain? Yeah.
We love to entertain. So we need a big entertaining space.
We need a big entertaining space. So yeah, it being too remote or too hard to clear. And then sometimes when it's like an actual, like the just ridiculous, just like, well, we wanted to do paddle boarding, but the channel's too narrow. I don't know what life is this, but it's fun to watch.
You did amazing.
Thank you.
You got all the points. You get all of the all
Yay!
The
points. Yay!
So thank you so much for joining us. And you can catch Natasha in season 4 of HBO's Insecure right now. I have been watching it. And let me tell you, it is a breath of fresh air, especially right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Natasha.
That's our show. But before we go, we asked you to call into the Ask Me Another hotline and tell us, what's the weirdest thing you've eaten while in quarantine? And here's what you said.
Debbie Slack. I live in Cutchogue out on the North Fork of Long Island.
Eric Whately from the Bronx.
Jay Eldred calling from New Bern, North Carolina.
Michael McConnell from East Windsor, Connecticut.
Sandra Scree. I'm calling from Glen Rose, Texas.
Toby Young from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, this is Ben Martin from Wallingford, Connecticut. The weirdest thing I've been eating is all the old salad dressings that are in the door of my fridge.
I actually cooked a pound of bacon and ate the whole thing.
A Flamin' Hot Cheetos omelet.
A rhubarb and bacon omelet.
Doritos and peanut butter.
Onion syrup with some garlic and honey and sugar.
A carton of eggnog still in the refrigerator. From November of 2019. We've been enjoying it for the last week. Stay healthy. Bye-bye.
So this week, we'd like to hear from our listeners who are parents. If you're practicing remote learning with your kids, what have you learned accidentally as a result? I learned that my child's hand is 5.5 inches long. I needed to know that. So call the Ask Me Another hotline at 848-999-4932. That's 8. It, XXX, iWeb. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Kara Weinberger with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts, Kate Villa, and Emily Winter. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Nick Garrison. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're testing the limits of our video conference call. We'll be joined by drag queen Shangela and not one, but 4 comedians. We'll have Aparna Nancherla, Joyelle Nicole Johnson, plus Ashley Nicole Black and Chelsea Devantes. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.